We're going to look again at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Got a couple of more messages here in Colossians, and then we'll be finished with Colossians. It's been a rich study. I think Colossians is a wonderful book. We're going to take a look at prayer in particular this morning. And throughout this series, I've been impressed with the subject, the theme of hope, how hope seems to draw us along deeper into life with God. And in particular, I see hope here in this passage, leading us deeper with God for the sake of others and ourselves. Deeper first into a relationship with God through prayer and for the sake of others as and in addition to ourselves. So the big idea here is the importance of prayer, what the importance that prayer is to our life in Christ, and we'll look at Colossians 4, beginning with verses 2 through 6. Would you read with me together? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Anything that you noticed in this reading of God's word, or something that sparked a thought or a question? Yes. An observation that he asked people to pray that he would proclaim it clearly so that other people can understand. And that is a prayer on our hearts as well, that we could proclaim it clearly. Jamie.
Yeah, and the word conversation.
So that stands out most to you. Mm-hmm. Pray that God would open the door of opportunity to share our faith. Okay? Yes. Tell me where and how he does that. When we're praying, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Yes, that goes. I think we need to explore that and will a little bit further. Devote yourselves to prayer here, as you were saying, being watchful and thankful. Now, let's take a look at that verse. What is Paul telling us with the order? Do you see an order in this verse? What do you notice in terms of order? You pray. Oh, okay. And thankful. So the order looks like devote yourselves to prayer. If you're trying to diagram this, that's the main thing. And two components, possibly, of prayer included here would be being watchful and thankful, even in your praying. Does that seem to follow? Yes. Okay, there's the thought. Did you hear that? It's a good one. It looks like, unless you're watchful, you won't know to be thankful. You won't find the things to be thankful for. Okay? It is interesting. Second question, what is Paul telling us in linking watchfulness and thankfulness as components of prayer? This could be one application of that. Are there others? Alert to the things to pray for. Okay. Okay. Let's just step back into the text or the situation a little bit. Paul is writing to the Christians at Colossae. This was addressed to Christians. Where was Paul? He was in prison. As we read through this, did you notice he said, for which I am in chains? There's a period, it looks like, in which Paul was basically under house arrest. He rented a place in Rome, but basically had the run of the house. And there's a it looks like there was a time where he transitioned. He was taken out of that house and put under the Roman guard. He was actually in the guard house. And it looks like, for which I am in chains, that is his circumstance. So there's the setting. Here's a guy in jail, in chains, telling us, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Isn't that remarkable? That's how he leads off. He goes further, but that's how he leads off. Devote yourselves to prayer. That is an imperative. It is something that, well, let's just go a little bit further here. Anything else in this part of the passage? I wanted to make sure that you had time to reflect on that and give your thoughts. Pray for us too. Him and those who were with him. He had been. Mm-hmm. And other visitors, maybe Mark. Mark might have been there. Peter might have been there. So there are a number of people that visit him. In the rest of this text, or the chapter, you see the Epaphras named. He was also a visitor of Paul. And so when he says, and pray for us too, it would include those persons as well. Aristarchus, okay. Yes. We are what? Thank you. The idea that whatever our circumstances are, even if they are not the best, we need to be looking for those opportunities to both pray and be thankful. Yes. Yes. And pray for us. Okay, interceding for others, yes. And then an admonition to the rest of you about the same topic that he's asking for prayer for. There are some things that are very important to the Christian life. And one of the essential things, the essence of the Christian life, is prayer. It's 101. It's 101. I don't think I ever saw this more clearly illustrated than when our teams from here would go to Malawi. We found out how people loved God's word when we handed out Bibles and they danced. They literally danced because nobody had one. But I would say this, these people excel at prayer. Their prayer meetings are amazing. They pray fervently. They pray long. I went to bed one night at about 10, and throughout the night I woke up because I still wasn't adjusted to that time zone, and I could hear them praying. And when the sun came up, they were still praying. Now, these people had 101 down. They had 101 down. They inform us, I think, about a passionate spirituality when it comes to the subject of prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, he says. And so that's what we should do. It's really the breath of our life in Christ. And some examples of that, of course, here are Paul and then Epaphras in 4:12. In this same chapter, it talks about Epaphras always being in prayer for you. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature, and be fully assured. So prayer is in the essence of our life in him. It's like breathing in and out, something that sustains us as human beings. Prayer is like breathing in and out, something that sustains us as his created children, his new birth children. It's also a means of maintaining our life in Christ. It says, be watchful. This comes from an interesting Greek word, which means to be vigilant or to be wide awake, to be wide awake, to be alert. The early Christians actually coined this term, and it is the term from which we get our personal name, Gregory, Gregorio, Gregory. To be alert, to be awake is the idea. Now, there are some reasons already that we've been able to list that we, when we are awake to when God shows us things that God has done on our behalf, and we are thankful for that. That would be watchful. It would also be watchful. Being watchful for this early group of Christians was important. Remember earlier in our study, in the earlier chapters, there were people that came in among the Colossian people who were, if their ideas about spirituality caught hold, that the Colossians would be in danger of losing the gospel of grace. In a sense, the people who'd come in and were trying to influence this fellowship were dealing the cards from the bottom of the deck, just slipping things in, trying to change their understanding of what the good news of Christ was. And so Paul is concerned throughout this book that people be watchful and aware and not just half asleep. There are times when, I don't know if you have this, but when you're driving, that you just almost have to blink and say, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention, because it's so easy to just get on autopilot when you're driving. I remember one time like that when I was driving down Gleason Street in Portland, and this little 2.5-year-old came right out into the street. And their cars go in like this, and this little one. And I pulled off real quick and scooped the baby up in my arms and started looking for the parents. And eventually, on a second floor apartment, I found the mother. And by knocked on the door, and I had her baby in my arms, and she was just absolutely horrified at what I told her. How that baby had gotten out without her knowing it, she had no idea. It was one of those moments that vigilance was really, really important, you know, when you're driving. It's true in the spiritual life as well. Interesting, be watchful in your praying, and be thankful. One of the things that I think prayer does when we're with the Lord is that the Lord does direct us about life. And if we are open, He can help us avoid train wrecks in our lives. He can point out, this you have to watch out for. This, you don't need this. It can go on along the side. There are times when we can be instructed by the Lord in prayer about how to handle a difficult circumstance. I think watchfulness is part of that He feeds to us as we spend time in prayer. So there is this idea of watchfulness. We're told in 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9, be self-controlled and alert, watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. Well, Paul would know Peter's situation, and Peter would have known Paul's, wouldn't they? And Peter is telling us, in a sense, if we're not careful, we're lion meat. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We do have an enemy, a mortal enemy of the soul. And this is a wise enemy. The way he makes his appeal to us doesn't come to us like a devil with horns and a pitchfork. It's subtle stuff. And suddenly we are where we thought we wouldn't be. Or we could be where we don't want to be. Yes. A benefit of watchfulness, then, could teach us patience in waiting on the Lord for answers when sometimes we're impatient. Thank you for that. That is an excellent observation. We could miss being tuned into God's provision, God's wisdom, God's cautions for living. Watchfulness helps us relate our needs, the needs of our friends and family and church and country and world to God. It cues us up when danger threatens us. It helps us see God's rich blessing and answer to prayer, as you put so well. It keeps us in touch with God's will and wisdom for life. I think that's it. Those are two interesting things. Be diligent in prayer. Pray, being watchful and thankful. Now, if this idea of watchfulness has both that connotation of looking for the things to be thankful for, but also the things to be cautious about, how would putting these two things together, watchfulness and thankfulness, be kind of an important thing to wed together? How would watchfulness and thanksgiving be an important thing to wed together? Yes. Thank you. Any other thoughts about this link? Watchfulness and thankfulness builds faithfulness. Excellent. Yes. People don't see the things to be thankful for, even though they're watchful. Okay? Everything could be perceived in a much better light. I like that. They seem to go together well. If this is just a thought to reflect on, just if you have just watchfulness without thankfulness too, especially this, where you're watching out for every negative thing that comes along, you could turn into a curmudgeon. Thankfulness redeems you from that. It balances spirituality. Both things seem to be very, very important part of prayer. Watchfulness, we need to be watchful. And yet thankfulness breathes hope and encouragement into your life. That thankfulness list is a very important thing. I think when I've done that, I've noticed an interesting thing, that there's almost, if I can get five of them down, I have almost an immediate mood lift. Kind of remarkable how that works. So it's very important to be watchful and to be thankful. It is. It's how we maintain our life in Christ. Again, I've mentioned those things, the dangers to avoid stagnation, spiritual stagnation. This is something that we have to be careful about. And I think God will speak to us about it. God has promised to help us know what it is we need to follow him. He does not mock us by keeping us in the dark. And if there's something that's causing stagnation in our spirituality, prayer is where he often shows us. Or going blind to what God is doing, or just simply forgetting God. It's how we maintain our life in Christ, being watchful. So there are dangers to avoid, opportunities to be taken, and we've listed several of those. God uses prayer to prepare us for opportunity. And in this case, prayer for others, like Paul invites the Colossians, is both a privilege and a responsibility. When someone invites and asks for us to pray, there is nothing more important that we could do than to pray for each other. And then it's also a prayer for effectiveness about priority issues, that God may open a door to our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Now, if you think, okay, that was Paul's thing. That was Paul's job. He's asking for prayer for his job. He is. But in the next few verses, he says, and you too, conduct yourselves in ways so that you can bear witness to him. There is also this idea that prayer for effectiveness is often about overcoming the battle of the ages. He was in chains because of his loyalty to Christ. And in a sense, the enemy could have tried to shut him up. But he's not asking for that. He's asking for help to bear witness to Christ. So that God may open up a door for our message, he says, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Remember in another place, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and then also for the Gentile. And so he pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Clearly. That I make it clear, intelligible. Making the message appropriate for the audience. It doesn't change the message, but it is obvious that he's saying this from a sense of priority about his life and also responsibility. Now, responsibility is a word that in today's world gets a lot of bad press. Responsibility. People don't want the obligation that it implies. And seen that way, you can understand those feelings. However, responsibility can be a liberating thing, an empowering thing. I've mentioned this before. Just take the word apart. Responsibility. You can respond. You have the ability to respond. To me, that's an empowering thing. It's an empowering thought. So when I hear that the good news of Jesus Christ is the best news that humanity has to offer, or that it needs to as well, then I with the sense of responsibility, can offer that good news when I have opportunity. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, he says. Pray that I may proclaim it boldly. That is, without fear or restraint. In Ephesians 6, 19 through 20, Paul says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Why does he ask them to pray for this? Why is he asking for those particular things? Anybody sitting around in chains is feeling a little threatened.
Just a tad.
Just a tad. Now, there are times when we think of the Apostle Paul as this stalwart, in-your-face kind of guy. I think he's like us. He sensed, this is truly a life-threatening situation that I'm in. I could live or die here, at any moment, given on how people take it. So would you please pray for me that I don't let that get in the way of me sharing with Christ with other people? This is a message I believe is life-transforming for people. And I can't go silent. I'm not rigged for silent running. The church is not rigged for silent running. It's meant to proclaim. It's meant to offer good news. So prayer is often about overcoming the battle of the ages, that I may proclaim it clearly, communicate it with confidence. And then in 4, it says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Sounds like the same words he's asking them to pray. I mean, it's other words, but it's the same thing. You do this too as you pray for me. So it helps, it's meant to help us communicate graciously and wisely. Prayer is the most important expression, as I mentioned, of the new life. It's a means of obtaining for ourselves and for others God's supply for whatever is needed. It is part of a divinely appointed weapon against Satan. It is a vehicle for the confession of our own sin, an instrument by which the gratefulness in us pours out as we adore our Heavenly Father. And so he encourages prayer as part of that. This is so in keeping with the teaching of Jesus when he admonished his disciples that they should pray and continue to pray and not lose heart, even when we don't see the immediate answer. Okay, who are the dudes? Who are the dudes? Any ideas here? Oh, which one's William Penn? The guy on the left is William Penn. George Fox is the guy on the right. Some of you have, you know, heard about these two characters. I'd like to just give a quote about this. This quote is given by William Penn about George Fox. Above all, he excelled in prayer. There's a little more to that phrase that I want to include, but what about that? Excelling in prayer. Here's the rest of the quote. Some of you, I'll just read it aloud because some of you aren't going to be able to see it with those there. But above all, he excelled in prayer. The inwardness and weight of his spirit, the reverence and solemnity of his address and behavior, and the fewness and fullness of his words have often struck even strangers with admiration. Truly, it was a testimony he knew and lived nearer to the Lord than other men. This is someone who realized the potential of making prayer 101 important in his life. And it is something that maybe we should pause and reflect. I'll just read this aloud. Ask yourself, am I down in the flaming center of God? Have I come into the deeps where the soul meets with God and knows his love and power? How have I discovered God as a living immediacy, a sweet presence, stirring, life-renovating power within me? Thomas Kelly said that. It's a good question to ask. I purposefully chose these two pictures of younger people. Some of the people that shook George Fox's world in that era were very young people. You can be a person who excels in prayer, whatever your age. We all could be people who excel in prayer. We need to practice 101, prayer 101. It could be said of all of us here this morning, they excel at prayer. Would you join me in a prayer? And I'd like to invite our worship team forward if they would come. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would work in our lives to this end, that we treasure our time with you. Protect us and help us be watchful about the onslaught of things, both good and evil, that make their bid for our attention every day and every week, and which distract us from you. Help us be watchful as we look for you at work. Help us see you at work. Get in step with where you're at work. We know that as we are more aware of that, there will be many, many reasons to give you thanks. Amen.